We welcome you this morning on this somewhat rainy, dreary morning in North Carolina. We're the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, and we meet in Jacksonville, North Carolina. We're glad to have each one who might be watching and listening this morning, trying to maintain this live stream throughout these difficult times, and trying to get all our folks well and back in health, and I hope that will be very soon, very soon. We miss the fellowship, we miss being with each other, seeing each other, but I hope we'll pray for each other and keep in touch and help each other as we have needs. We pray for Tamara this morning and anyone else in our number who might be sick, and for all the Lord's people wherever they might be on this earth this morning. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your greatness and for your goodness. We pray that you might manifest both to us this morning by your Spirit, through your Word, and make us to know the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we would not know apart from your revealing grace. We ask that you might help each one that we've mentioned and more, as according to your will and by your power. Do all that you do for your glory. Help us, forgive us, watch over us, provide for us according to the riches of your grace and mercy in Christ. We pray and we ask it all in thy name. Amen. This morning I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I've noticed over the years that people are so very interested and delight in getting, receiving gifts, especially at this time of year. But not so much in the realm of spiritual things, not so much in the matter of salvation, God's salvation. The title of my message today is The Knowledge of the Gifts. The Knowledge of the Gifts. And I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Paul says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." That we might know the things that are freely given us of God. Paul writes in this letter to these Corinthian believers, and he reminds both them and us that God has given his people spiritual knowledge of things that they would not have known, could not have known otherwise. And that is by the Spirit of God and the gospel of God, which reveals this and assures of this and enables us to believe only this in salvation. It is a very basic, a very elementary, but a very gracious and great fact that salvation is of the Lord. That it is a gift of God. And yet, all the while, that is constantly being assaulted by the world, especially by the religious world, and always the same in our flesh. But I can assure you this morning from this passage and many, many more of this one thing. Every part of salvation, that is all in salvation, is the gift of God's grace to those He saves, to His people. That's what it says in this verse. That we might know the things that are freely given us of God. Not that we might know what to do or what to give God, but that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. In another place, he refers to it in this way. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The gift of God. In another place, he says, this is the record. God hath given us eternal life. He's given us eternal life. And then in another place, he says this, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. His unspeakable gift. All these things in salvation are the gift of the sovereign, almighty, gracious God. He is both the author and the finisher of faith, of salvation. And Christ did not die on the cross in order to make salvation possible or to make anyone savable. He died as the angel told his earthly parents to save his people from their sins. And salvation, therefore, is in no way an offer, but rather the gift of God's grace. He's not offering salvation. He's giving salvation to some people, and Paul also called it the gift of righteousness. And that is because in another place he says that grace reigns in righteousness. There is no gift, there is no grace from God apart from righteousness. There is not unrighteous grace, as we read in Romans 5. But yet in the book of Proverbs, it tells us, by God's own statement and standard, he that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. And when you stop and think about it, when you reflect on what God says about the gift of His salvation to sinners, isn't that just what God has done? Or isn't that what it appears He has done? Not really. If we understand anything about what the Bible calls imputation, that is God reckoning or counting that which is not to someone and holding another person responsible in their place, counting a debt or a charge or a crime or guilt to someone other than the one that is saved. So when we come down to the Bible, we find out about how this gift is given, how this grace is shown, when the writer says in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace. But it doesn't stop there. It says, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In another place, it says we are justified or counted righteous through His blood, through His righteousness imputed to His people, Christ bearing the price of our sins, we bearing God's righteousness in Him by imputation. Imputation. When you look over in Leviticus chapter 16, when the high priest is commanded of God to lay his hand on the scapegoat as a symbol or a picture of how he represents the people of Israel and how their sins are laid on the head of the scapegoat, just like he says in Isaiah, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so you find out something about this transfer, this real transfer of sin and guilt, and this real transfer of righteousness. You find out something about them in that simple picture all the way back in the book of Leviticus, and you might say that is imputation 101. That's where it's shown in a picture long before it is stated in the New Testament. Because the everlasting covenant came from God in grace. We have that also in a picture when it says, a king made a banquet for his son. And this is the message that he sent out to all who he'd bring to this feast and banquet. He said, tell them all things are ready. They're all ready before they know about the banquet. They're already finished, made ready by the king himself before there goes forth this command to come. And that's what we find out in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spirit. spiritual blessings. That means you can't earn anything else. That means you cannot work for anything else. You cannot be rewarded on the basis, because it is all of grace, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. If you ever get anything from God in the way of a gift or grace, it'll have to be in and through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Then it says, in love, having destinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. He'll be praised, glorified, magnified by his people as the gracious giver of all of salvation. The writer of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 said this, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because he, that is God, hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, God did something for his people, gave something to his people, purposed something for his people, which he calls his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began. He gave us, he determined, predetermined to give this gift, much like, in one sense, you might have already predetermined what you'll give to who in the holidays. Nobody decided for you. Nobody made you do anything, not if it's a gift. And this is the gift of grace. Paul reminding us in Romans 9, he says, so that it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Everything is in Christ. Everything is of God, who has made Christ to be wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, everything to his people. As a matter of fact, it says that God the Father gave himself to me, because my Father, he's my Father, not by my choice, but by his. He's given his love to his people. He's given his people of his choice to his Son, so that this is all that the Father giveth him. They're not only given to him, but he's given to them. That's what it says in the Song of Solomon. That bride says of the bridegroom, I am my beloved, and he is mine. He's been given to me, the gift of God's grace. And Christ gives himself to his people. And the Spirit gives himself to his people and quickens them to make known what is given to them in that appointed time. And what they find out is this: everything is freely given to them. God purposed it. God purchased it. God produced it. God perpetuates it. God perfects it. And we can sing in that song, "To God be the glory, great things He hath done." I get so weary in this world of hearing religious, self-righteous people always bragging and boasting about what they did and why they know they're going to heaven and what they're assured their reward will be. They know nothing about the gifts of God. They look only to their own righteousness, which is simply filthy rags, God says. They look to their own doing, and every part of God's salvation is freely given. That is, God loves and He gives without being persuaded or compelled or asked. He does so sovereignly. He says, "I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious." And I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. And my friends, that's the only way that any son or daughter of Adam could ever have anything from God, could ever have any part in salvation. And this business of people saying that they believe they're saved by grace, and then they turn immediately and they speak of something that they've done, some work of righteousness. They say with those in Matthew 7, "We've done many wonderful things in your name. We've prophesied in your name. We've cast out devils in your name." And God says to them, "I never knew you. What you're doing and what you're resting in is nothing but iniquity. That is, it is not equal with what I require. I give what I require. I give righteousness as a gift." God loved, and therefore He gave. If there's one thing that ought to assure us in the matter of forgiveness and righteousness and salvation and being reconciled to God and having peace with God, it is the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, as He laid down His life on that cross, said, "It is finished. It is finished." Some people give handmade gifts this time of year. Wouldn't it be an awful insult to receive such a gift and then turn around and look to the giver and say, "It's not finished," or "It needs improvement," or "I need to add something to it"? Salvation is the gift of God. When we read over there in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, when it says that we're justified freely, justification includes all of salvation. It's the satisfaction of God's broken law. It's the righteousness that Christ established by His doing and His dying. It's His obedience unto death. He says, being justified freely through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And that word freely is used at least one other place in Scripture, in John chapter 15. But there it's translated in this way. It says that they, as the prophets had said they would, they hated Jesus without a cause. That's the word, same word, that's translated freely in Romans 3. In the margin I reread this morning, it said, without a cost. That's true, but this is also true. And first true, it's without a cost, without any cause in us whatsoever. Without any cost by us, surely, but without any cause in us. He loved us freely. He redeemed us freely. When there was nothing lovable about us, no quality redeemable by us, it had to be a gift. Eternal life had to be a gift. When you read about faith, they say, yeah, but you have to believe. Well, that's a gift too. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. What? It is the gift of God. Oh, yes, but you have to repent. If you do, it's because God has given you the gift of repentance. He says, servants, masters, preachers of the gospel, don't strive with men. Don't hammer them. Don't make them feel worse by your own statements and things like that. You tell them about the gifts, and if God grants to them repentance, we pray that God will grant them repentance, give them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth. That's what repentance is. It isn't counting how many sins you've sinned. You don't even know how many you sinned. But repentance is toward God. It's a change of mind wrought by His Spirit so that we see Him according to His truth. It's a change of mind. It's to the acknowledging of the truth about us, about Christ, about God, about everything in His Word. God says they did it for His own name's sake. That is, for His own glory. He did it according to His will, not mine. He did it by His decision, not mine. Can I glory in the fact and delight in the fact and praise Him for the fact that it's all of His free grace in Jesus Christ? Or do I have to keep mentioning something I did or some church I'm a part of or some aisle I walked or some baptismal water or something that I know or something that I gave or something I have a good record about? My friends, I would be lost today if one iota of God's salvation depended on me. He gave it all. It's to the praise of His glory and grace that He shows to the chief of sinners. Now, that's not the only thing. The other thing is that the only way anybody finds this out, and all of God's people will learn this. They'll all be taught of God by His Spirit and His Word, and they'll know that the reason that they know this that they possess this knowledge is by grace. They didn't find it out on their own. They weren't seeking the God of grace. They had no understanding of themselves. They were blind, spiritually dead. And God awakened them by His Spirit, gave them new birth, which is evidenced by faith, and they believe His Word, which says that all of salvation is freely given of God. You think that's the best news to a sinner? But he doesn't believe what God says about his condition, that he's lost and helpless and hopeless apart from this gift of God's grace. He'll never not only know it, he'll not understand any part of it unless the Spirit of God reveals him. God brings his people to the knowledge of this truth, and he assures them of it, and he makes them to delight in the fact that it's a gift. It's a gift at the cost of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the gift at the cost of his suffering. It's a gift at the cost of his paying the debt. Peter says in 2 Peter 1, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God. Feelings don't last very long. You can be a hoorah in church one moment, and the next moment, in the depths of despair, you find out what your sins really are. It's the knowledge of God. And it's the knowledge of what Christ has done for his people. It's the knowledge of this, that he freely gives sinners salvation. And it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. When the Spirit of God reveals to us the truth, we find out that God has given all to us. And you know, that's just what the flesh doesn't really want. They want something to glory in. They want something to do. How do all these false religions manage to carry on and deceive people? Because the flesh wants something to do. Wants something to give. Wants some honor and glory in it. But the Spirit reveals all these things are freely given through Christ crucified. John in 1 John 5 says, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Eternal life. This gift of eternal life is given to us in the knowledge of Christ. We know Christ, we have eternal life. If we rest in his work, If we believe that it actually was finished, irreversible, a work that cannot be added to or taken from, an eternal work that assures an eternal salvation. He by his own blood entered in and obtained eternal salvation for his people. When we know that all is of God. That's why we worship God. That's why we praise Christ. That's why we're thankful for it. That's why we cannot boast. When we know it's all of grace and all in Christ and all His for His glory, it humbles us and it creates love for God and His people in us, and it brings us to worship Him alone. It motivates us to serve Him and to love our brethren, all without fear of punishment or promise of reward. Because He has freely given us all things in Christ. Paul wrote to Titus, in Titus chapter 2. And he said, for the grace of God, if you add anything to grace, if you add any work to grace, any of your decision, it's no longer grace. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, that is all kinds of men, Jew and Gentile, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And any grace that makes you more the sinner, any grace that does not have this radical effect, not a new nature, not sinning anymore, but have a drastic effect on you as you live in this world. That's not the grace of God. The grace of God has not appeared to you. Because when grace is revealed to us by it, when we know the grace of God, we don't, as some people say, just live like we want to. The thing that humbles us and brings us down and gives us grief is the fact that we cannot live like we want to the glory and praise of God alone. All boasting is excluded. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, not of works lest any man should boast, only in Christ alone, only in this one who is the unspeakable gift, the gift in which all the gifts of God are freely given. Now, Paul, before he made this statement in verse 12, he first showed that the reason why he had gone, been sent of God to preach the gospel unto them, was so they might know it. So that they might know these things. So he begins in verse 1 by this statement. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. That's why God doesn't use the big preacher. He uses the little one. He uses a sinner that he's saved by his grace. He uses one like Paul, who said he was the chief of sinners, that he obtained mercy, who was brought out of a blasphemous religion. He said, I was before a blasphemer. But he saved him by this grace. He showed him that this was a matter of all things freely given in salvation in Christ. And he sent him to preach it. And he called this the testimony of God. He said, I didn't have wisdom of speech, worldly wisdom. But he said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Someone said he was like a pianist that only knew one note, middle C, kept hammering right on that one note, Christ, Christ, Christ. Christ crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. People gobble sermons up that tickle their intellect. They gobble up sermons. Now they can, it's like a smorgasbord that you can go to on the internet, get all the sermons you want, listen to them. Maybe they'll make you smart. Maybe they'll make your life better or something. But just a simple man with no charismatic gifts, preaching the Word of God. That's what Paul said he had to become. He counted all that other stuff as done. And the reason was he didn't want them to rest in what a natural man said, but in what the Spirit of God revealed. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. This mystery is that which was not yet revealed to this extent. It's the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the kingdom, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that loved him, that love him. Not anybody, not any man, not God's elect, nobody. It does not enter into our mind and heart naturally. The things of God's grace, the things of Christ. But look at this, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. If the Spirit of God ever gives you new birth, ever gives you that gift of faith, ever brings you to spiritual life, he'll reveal to you. It'll be a matter of a true revelation. It'll be according to this book. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Why? Because God, the Spirit, through the gospel, has revealed to us the salvation that is in Christ crucified. He did it all. He finished the work. He gives all things necessary. And he does it as a gift. That's what the Spirit of God reveals through the preaching of the truth. He reveals that this is all the gift of God's grace. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And boast we would and do until God reveals this to us. Our Father, we thank you for your precious gift and all the gifts that you give in him. We know it is by your grace alone. We have nothing to boast of. We have nothing that we can earn. Everything in the kingdom of God is the currency of grace. We thank you so much that that's the case. And we pray for strength, more grace, more faith, that we might be enabled to magnify you and praise you before this world and for all eternity. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.